little bit of travel last week, a day off last week, and a holiday this week. So we're still playing catch up a little bit. It was on Friday when State Representative Appropriations Chairman Jack McFarland put out a press release talking about budget hearings and basically what's on the table when it comes to tax reform in Louisiana prior to or during next year's fiscal session. He joins us right now. Representative McFarland, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Doing good, Brian. I hope you enjoyed the long weekend.
Minus a couple of hours on Sunday, absolutely.
Yeah, that was disappointing, but look, as always, next weekend, but be prepared because Nichols is coming to Baton Rouge.
So Nichols gave La Tech a good run right there. I think 27-15 was the final score. So, yeah.
It was a great game. The weather did influence it a little bit. Nichols had some opportunities and things just kind of got away, but it was a good game.
No, absolutely. Nichols runs a good program down there. Of course, Coach Rebo, his connections to high school football throughout, he's able to do some good with recruiting and he puts together a good program front and center. So,
Rebo has been phenomenal for Nichols. He's done a great job and I can say that firsthand because I have a son that plays that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was wondering why you were so dialed in on the Colonels.
I got a vested interest.
All right. I mean, geographically, you're a little closer to the Demons, though. So, but yeah, dialed in on the Nichols State Colonels. Going to love that. Let's talk a little bit about what's on the table when it comes to tax reform. Walk me through the budget hearings. Just kind of give me the brief synopsis of what went down and what was talked about.
So beginning last Friday, we began with LDH. Obviously, everyone's aware that LDH is the largest part of our budget, the most state general fund. It also receives the most federal funds. It's probably the most complex part of our budget. So we began only with that agency. Now, this Friday, we're going to have multiple agencies, including the executive department. But it was important that we began with LDH so that we could get, it's always like that elephant in the room. You know he's there, so let's go ahead and get him in. And it gives us an opportunity to come back later and look at other ideas. And those are conversations we actually are having today with the Speaker, Phil DeVille, and even Chairman Tony Bacala. But these hearings are going to be important, Brian, because we begin that conversation early and not waiting until the spring. It's already been announced. We know we have a shortfall this year. The temporary sales tax is rolling off. There's a 2% business utility tax rolling off. At the joint budget this past month, there was $339 million shortfall that's going to be recognized. That does not include about $250 million. And educational spending, such as a teacher stipend, early childhood education, and the other needs of DOE. So, you put all that together. We know there's a $570 million fiscal, I don't like to use the term cliff because it's not a cliff. We're not fixed to go off something.
Right.
Because this is something that we can address and fix now. But if we begin the conversation now, and that's when we're having the budget hearings, I know Chairwoman Julie Emerson is going to begin having ways and means meetings, as well as I think the Senate Rev. Fisk, Franklin Fole, to discuss tax measures, tax restructuring, tax reform. And I think that the important part is that we're doing this collectively. We're doing it all at the same time so that we can discuss our budget, find the efficiencies, find the things we can streamline. Those things we feel like we can't live without, then members have the option of knowing in advance, here's the things we feel like we can't live without. Here's the real number that we believe we need to address. And how do we want to address it? The easy thing that everybody says is, oh, just renew the 0.45. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares about it. But that doesn't give us the opportunity, if we do that, to really focus on what is bringing Louisiana down
right.
And not allowing us to move forward.
Well, and don't think for a second that nobody's paying attention. Because that 0.45, that is one that, if it is continued and every possible stone hasn't been overturned, if it is continued, then all the work that the legislature's been doing in the right direction – it kind of, I don't want to say it undoes it all, but it definitely lets a lot of air out of the balloon because, man, there's been a lot of hope that this thing will actually roll off.
Yeah, and I think that's why now is the time, and now is the time to begin that conversation. And I think that the public expects us. I mean, it's just like at home. Right now, everyone's feeling the pressure of increased inflation, higher interest rates, grocery store prices. Everybody's feeling it. So they would expect us to do the same thing in the state level. We know we have a shortfall. We know we don't have the money coming in we need to meet the needs that we have for the public. So now's a perfect opportunity for us to address that and to structurally change the way Louisiana is taxed.
We're talking with State Representative Jack McFarland. Yeah, you bring up the inflation part of that. Representative McFarland, that's such a big part of the 0.45. It's because with inflation the way it is, it exacerbates what sales taxes are. At 0.45, it's a percentage, not a number, right? So the higher your bills are, whatever you're spending, the higher your bills are, the more you're going to be impacted by that 0.45.
Exactly. So if you can restructure your tax reform and focus on, look, we got exemptions and some exclusions and credits that have been on the books for decades. I know that the Ways and Means Committee and the staff members are going through that extensively right now and looking at all those. They're even asking members what are those tax measures that are important to them, that are most vital to their district. So I really appreciate the time and energy that everyone's putting into this, because we got a shot with a new governor and a new legislature to get this right and do it early in our tenure.
Talk with State Representative Jack McFarland. One more on taxes before we move on to efficiencies. And when it comes to tax credits, tax cuts, tax loopholes and whatnot, if we're doing this in a piecemeal manner, and I know there's a whole lot of people looking at a whole lot of things all at once, but without just a complete overhaul, how much is being taken into account of, you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. You don't want to get rid of a tax credit that ultimately brings in more revenue than it lets out.
Oh, absolutely. And look, and I think that is why the efforts right now that I know that Secretary of Department of Revenue, Richard Nelson and Julie Emerson, I know they have had multiple meetings and they're going through this. And when I say meticulously, they are taking their time, reviewing all options. And look, we all know Richard Nelson is a very intelligent man. I mean, he is quick and he is very thorough. But Julie Emerson is the same way, and members also respect her. So I think now is just a great time to sit down and have these tough conversations, figure out those things that we think that we can continue. And look, and if there is a dollar basis for that investment of a tax credit or exclusion or exemption, and the return is more, then yes, we would want to keep that. But if the return on that dollar is not what it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, then maybe it's time to let it roll off the books and have the opportunity to do away with the 0.45. Look, I think it's even larger than that. I think we have an opportunity to even look at our corporate income tax, our personal income tax, and restructure those things at the same time to put us in a better position to be competitive with our neighboring state.
All right, State Representative Jack McFarland with us. Now's the time to pivot over to efficiencies. You mentioned with LDH being the biggest, you know, the elephant in the room, as it were. How much of a want, how much of a willingness is there to find actual efficiencies? Because, I mean, traditionally in Louisiana, when you got a little bit of bureaucratic bloat going on, they don't want to let go of what's theirs. And I air quoted theirs, by the way.
Look, every agency, not just LDH, I mean, everyone feels that way. They always feel like that the legislature is coming after them and their department, and that's not the case. But at the same time, they feel the pressure within the agency to maintain the services and programs that they provide to the public. Mm-hmm. But even with them, this forces them to reexamine those programs and are there efficiencies within those programs. And look, and it may mean that you got three people and their jobs are very similar. Maybe you only need two people.
Right.
It's really simple. We make it complex. And it doesn't mean that you have to lay people off. It's just you reassign those individuals you get more work out of the ones you have. Every agency has vacancies right now. There's jobs within every agency. So this forces us to look at that, and maybe just the vacancy savings in each agency may be anywhere from $20 million to $10 million a year. Look, it's not hard if you look at the number of agencies within the state to get to $100 or $125 million just focusing on carry forwards and vacancies. Now, remember, some of those vacancies you can't do without. I mean, give you an example in LDH. 68% of the vacancies they have are in homes where they're disabled. Mm. Well, those aren't vacancies that you can do without.
Right. I mean,
you have to employ those people to provide the care to the disabled. So, you know, those are the things. You just have to evaluate each thing individually, each agency individually. And by beginning now, here we are in 1st of September, about to have our second meeting. It's just the perfect timing for us to do this. Everybody can be aware. The members that aren't serving on appropriations have the opportunity to watch these committee hearings and educate themselves, something that's hard to do when you're in the regular session because all these other committees are meeting and they don't get to watch and hear all the same debate. Well, now they have that opportunity. So I just think it puts everyone in a better position moving forward.
So and with LDH being the biggest one, is the hope there that every other state agency can replicate? If there's a willingness to do that, you know, trim the fat a little bit, because the last time the state tried to overhaul like this, there was a lot more pushback, to be sure.
Yeah, look, like I said, no one in any group, whether it's Department of Health or whatever it is, no one wants to discontinue programs.
No.
But maybe we can redefine how those programs are presented to the public and how we execute those programs. And maybe that's where your efficiencies are. You know, I had a conversation with Tyler Gray with the Department of Energy and Natural Resources last week. And he said, Jack, you know, the great thing about this is we've been looking at this within our agency already for months now. And so, you know, when I hear that coming from secretaries of agencies, it gets me excited because they're already doing this. They're on the forefront of it. And they're already examining where they can be more efficient. And it's encouraging to know that you have agencies voluntarily doing this on their own without us having to tell them to do it.
Got about 2 minutes left with State Representative Jack McFarland, and I appreciate your time this morning, Representative McFarland. I want to pivot back to that 2% business utility tax. We've talked a ton on this show. Moon talks about it a lot as well with the 0.45. But that 2% business utility tax, that goes directly to the Transportation Trust Fund. Is that more in line to stick around because of how direct the usage is going to be and because of how far backlogged we are when it comes to transportation?
Yeah, look, Department of Transportation, I mean, that's another whole long conversation you and I can have and have had multiple times.
Yes.
And with what's happening there now with this evaluation study that's being done by this outside group, I think that's going to put us in a position where we can really sit down and evaluate what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. The business utility tax, that 2%, I mean, look, it was even discussed in my first year 9 years ago there. When we were refunding 100% and 75%, and then it was lower from 4% to 3% to 2%. It's been changed multiple times. But when you start looking at how it relates to DOTD and the overall budget as a whole, then I think it's important that we take that time, evaluate that business utility tax, and determine, hey, is this necessary to continue? Obviously, there's always a debate on it because you got the businesses that actually pay it. And, you know, look, it's just another part of the equation.
He is State Representative Jack McFarland. I'm going to be checking in regularly as we move forward because it's a big undertaking, Representative McFarland. And any ground that you can gain, we want to know about it as it moves along.
Absolutely. Look, we were in the same position, actually the worst position, I believe, 9 years ago.
Yep.
And so for some of us, it's going into our third terms. This is not unfamiliar territory. But now the difference is we also have a legislature and a governor, new governor, who with new perspectives and a different perspective. And I think that this is even a better opportunity for us to make those structural changes within our tax structure and with our budgeting process that maybe we wouldn't do otherwise.
100% agree. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, State Representative Jack McFarland.